Welcome to episode number 15 of the Record Plug Magazine podcast. I'm Jimmy Ether, and today I'm thrilled to have on the show Oliver from A Place to Bury Strangers. And if you're a guitar nerd like me or just a musician, you probably have a couple of Oliver's pedals on your board. He runs Death by Audio, and he's kind of a mad scientist, makes all kinds of noise contraptions and great fuzzy pedals and synthesizers now too. So Jeffrey DeBaser is going to be talking to him a little bit later in the episode. But we're going to start out with an interview Hallie O'Malley does about the benefit coming up on October 5th at the iDrum for Catfight for Your Rights. And that is for a benefit for reproductive rights. And we have on the show the Brower Sisters and Kay Stanton from Pylon Reenactment Society. So here's that interview with Hallie O'Malley.
Why don't you all start off by just letting folks know who you are and where you are from?
My name's Alex. And
my name's Deary.
We're from the Brower Sisters band, yeah. And we're from Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm Kay. I am from Pylon Reenactment Society, and we're here in Athens, Georgia.
Great. Thank you so much for coming today and talking with me a little bit about this really cool show that's coming up, the Catfight for Your Rights event party and kind of a support concert. I'm really looking forward to seeing this lineup that you guys are part of. Can you just talk to me a little bit about how you got involved in this show?
We have been buddies with Catfight. I mean, I've been watching Catfight since the 90s. But yeah, we've been buddies with them for a long time. And I think I'm pretty vocal about things that I'm passionate about. And this is one of those things. And so they invited us and, you know, we were super stoked to be able to join that. It worked out with our kind of crazy schedule this fall.
Are you guys already touring and doing lots of shows right now? And what about y'all? How did you come to be involved in this show?
Back last year was the first time we met Katie at Wigwag Fest, which was really cool. And so then a few months ago, she invited us to be a part of the show, which was really exciting for us. Yeah, and they asked us to open for a show a couple months ago, I think, and we just couldn't do it because, I don't know, we're in school and stuff. And I think it was at Boggs, which is 21 plus, and we're not 21. So it was really fun to be able to play this show, and we've always wanted to play iDrum. Yeah. So
iDrum's a really cool venue. That'll be a great spot for this. And in terms of the other bands in the lineup, have any of y'all played with any of those bands before?
Yeah, we played with Nihilist Cheerleader about a year ago. We opened
East Atlanta Strut.
And what about you, Kay? Have y'all played with other bands in this lineup before?
Yeah, we've done. I mean, definitely we're Nihilist Cheerleader. We've played with Magnapop a number of times, and you know, just of course Catfight. So, and familiar with some of the others, and I was familiar with you all, and super excited that we're sharing a bill with you.
We're so excited to share y'all.
Are there folks you haven't seen that you're really looking forward to being able to check out when you get to be in the same venue?
Well, I'm so excited to see Janie Danger.
Yeah, and definitely Pylon Reenactment Society.
Oh, yeah.
And Catfight as well, because we haven't gotten to see them yet.
And I just want to see everybody because they're all such amazing acts, and it is going to be an excellent, excellent day.
Agreed. And it's so great to have so many bands in one place that are, you know, featuring fronting women or other women in different positions in the bands. That's going to be a really, really cool thing. And also, I hear there's going to be like a voting registration table and a few other things. So it's kind of a multi-cause event, which is really cool.
Yeah, and the silent auction. So, you know.
Yeah. What all do you hope is the kind of outcome of this? Maybe both, you know, obviously in terms of fundraised, but in terms of, you know, being involved in it, what do you hope happens? What do you hope people take away from this day?
Since a lot of our, like, people who would come to our shows are younger people, I'm excited to bring awareness to, like, Planned Parenthood and some of them who might be getting to the age where they can vote, like registering to vote, which I think is really exciting. Planned Parenthood is so important. And so I think it's always good to support them. And I'm excited about that.
And I second and third what they've all said. We got to do a benefit for Planned Parenthood last year, year before, I can't remember. And yeah, again, that is their organization I'm very passionate about. And it is more important than it has ever been for people to be aware of what's going on in the world and how incredibly necessary it is for women to have the health care that they need and not to be blocked by politics. So, you know, just recognizing what we can do, how we can empower each other through our art, through our music, and get that word across to people who might not, it might not be at the top of their heads like it is maybe for some of us.
Planned Parenthood gets so much flack just for being an abortion provider, but they also provide accessible and affordable healthcare for all, you know, women's issues and reproductive health. And I think that that's something that people kind of tend to forget because it's not the piece that's talked about as much. But I really think it's crucial to support, you know, access to that care across the board, especially for, you know, women and younger women who may not have as much, you know, access to the funding to get insured care.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your feelings about women supporting other women in music in general and in, you know, coming together for causes like this. I mean, obviously music has always been a part of kind of how we think about politics and how we talk about politics. But in terms of like communities and, you know, building and supporting women in music, what are your thoughts on that?
A lot of the bands that are around our age that we tend to play with are mostly led by men or boys. And so we try with most of our shows to have other female fronted bands, or non-binary fronted bands to play with us because I think it's the most fun. It's my favorite type of music when it's like a girl singing versus a man. I think it's important for female fronted bands to support other female fronted bands since there aren't as many.
And to kind of give that, you know, that opportunity to people who we may not see as represented as much, female and transgender and non-binary leaders of bands.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been doing this for, you know, over 30 years now, and it just warms my heart to see how much more inclusive the scene is, but it is still not where it should be. I have been called honey and sweetie and... the stories I could tell, we're not going there.
Right.
Vanessa's has incredible stories, you know, because she was doing this in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, and I love playing with other women, again, with our transgender musicians, our non-binary. I mean, there's so much great stuff going out there. And we all have very different stories to tell, but they're all very intertwined. And to me, you know, it's not a competition, and having that support, like I want nothing more than to see folks succeed, you know, what we're all trying to do here, and everybody's viewpoint is relevant.
Well, and I think it's wonderful too, at events like this to have female fronted and women inclusive bands of all different ages, because I think we all really learn a lot from each other generationally too. Like you were saying, Kay, you know, with Vanessa's stories from the 70s, you know, I think we've all heard or encountered some of those stories or know what they could be. And then to have, you know, your guys' generation kind of having different ways of approaching inclusiveness and, you know, helping kind of folks who haven't had those experiences learn about how to go about that. Do you find that to be true, that, you know, there's some different takes on how to appreciate community and inclusiveness for your generation versus maybe our older generations?
Yeah. And I think like when you look nowadays, like even like the biggest pop stars right now are all women versus like, I don't know, back like, I don't know, years before when it was mostly men that were like the lead of the music industry. But now we see like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Chappell Roan and Sabrina Carpenter and all of those. And I think it's like women and non-binary people and LGBTQ people are finally like having more of a voice in the music industry that they didn't have before.
And I absolutely learned from your generation, and I'm lucky. So I teach trapeze on the side, and I get to work with women and some, you know, lots of non-binary. It's a very open, inclusive environment, and I learned so much from the younger people. Like that, I always want to try to stay open to that, because, you know, just because I'm older doesn't mean I know more. I absolutely do not.
I feel like I know less sometimes.
Yeah.
What about anything else going on? Are you all working on any new music? Or I know, Kay, you said you guys have been doing some touring. What about Brower Sisters Band? Are you all doing any other shows or other projects right now?
We're working on an album right now, which is super exciting. But it's like our first album, like full album that we've been working on. So it's been taking like a lot of time. But we're also working on a music video, which has been a lot of fun to work on. Back in April, we came out with a song called Move to Mars, and so it's for that. And I think we're gonna do a double music video. Like, we have another song that's sort of space themed, so we're gonna kind of make a music video that goes together for both of the songs.
Yeah
So we released our first full length as Pylon Reenactment Society this past February, and we've been sort of supporting it quite a bit this year with shows. And but this weekend, we're opening for the DBEs, which is very exciting here in Athens. And then we're going to Memphis and Kansas City, where we're playing the Outer Reaches Festival and opening for Negative Land, which is, right? I mean, that's, you know, a band that I absolutely adore. But then it's this show, and then we've got some more stuff coming up for the rest of the year. And, you know, we've sort of just barely started writing, playing around with some new stuff. So hopefully, that's something that we can start focusing on more once we're home.
Thanks again to Alex and Deary from the Brower Sisters and Kay from Pylon Reenactment Society. Thanks to Hallie for the interview. And that show, again, is going to be at the iDrum. It's called Cat Fight for Your Rights. It's on October 5th. And that is with the lineup is Nihilist Cheerleader, Janie Danger, Foxy James, Pylon Reenactment Society, Magna Pop, the Brower Sisters, Cat Fight, and Catch These Hands, as well as a DJ and giveaways and all kinds of stuff. So definitely try to get to that. iDrum's a wonderful location too. So get there and check that out. So next up, we have our interview with Oliver of A Place to Bury Strangers with Jeffrey DeBaser.
So you're coming back through Atlanta, and how many times have you come through? I can't remember. I think I first saw you on the Exploding Head Tour.
You know, any chance to come to Atlanta? I love Atlanta. Such a cool spot. So many great times that happened there, and wild stories of the drummer falling off someone's roof, and, you know, all sorts of playing, all sorts of crazy shows. So, yeah, it's such a, like, I don't know. There's, like, some of those, like, cities in the U.S. which are, like, the best cities, and definitely Atlanta's on that list. So
on this tour, you're touring off of the Synthesizer album.
Yes.
And I have not had a chance to hear that yet. What are we in for? You guys kind of have like a regular, I'm not going to say predictable, you have a regular pattern for your records, but they always veer in a certain direction. Some are noisier, kind of catchy oriented, but Synthesizer, is the name applicable to what we're going to get?
A little bit. On the album itself, like the cover of the LP can be built into a synthesizer. Like you can actually take the cover and build it into a synthesizer. So it's like a circuit board cover. And then if you can either buy the parts kit from us or just find all the parts yourself. And there's even multiple parts to that synthesizer. So you can build part of it or whatever you want. And that actual synthesizer that is the cover, we played on every track of the album.
So wait, time out. Now you can actually, I was expecting that. So is this like a punch out cover that you can actually plug and play things with?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you have to have like some bits of skill to be able to, like, if you're handy with a soldering iron and know a little bit about electronics, then it is something that you could potentially do. If you have never done this before, I wouldn't suggest this being your first project build, but yeah, it's an incredible synthesizer. And it's one that, like, you know, I'm into all sorts of noise and craziness and everything. So this synthesizer itself is one that's like crazier than things that you could find, because we can put all sorts of quirks and weird messed up stuff in there and not have to worry about it.
Was this kind of tied in with your Death by Audio, which basically you build pedals?
Yes.
Is that where the inspiration came from?
Totally. I mean, just having built a bunch of equipment, like we've actually been building a bunch of these weird kind of like oscillators and synthesizers that we've used on the road for a long time. And it's just sort of for weird noise bits and stuff and augmenting some things. So that's just been advancing over the years. And as you get to be more and more in tune with what stuff sounds really cool and what's performable on the fly and all this, you know, we've just kind of developed a language that is getting more and more complicated synthesizers. And so it just made sense to make that leap into something a bit insane on this album.
So that's making more sense. I always thought that you basically build a lot of your sound off of pedals that you created that generated what you wanted specifically. So you weren't busy trying to find the new pedal to buy and try out. You just made your own. I didn't realize that you made your own synthesizers and different things of that nature. But I do remember last time I saw you, you pulled like a mobile synth on the floor.
Sure. Yeah.
And now that I look back, you don't really find that in a music store.
No, none of that stuff. You know, you probably could, and you could build these things with all sorts of stuff. I mean, pedals are basically the building blocks of a synthesizer broken out for a guitar. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So all of these things, whether you put it on a cart, whether you screw it to a wall and it's recording equipment or whatever you do with it, it's all just manipulating sounds in different ways. So as you start to, find the stuff that you like, you start just trying to put it in front of you.
Wow. So you totally threw me off on my first question. That's not where I thought we were going. but that's fantastic.
All right.
Back to the album. Some of them are really loud and noisy. Some of them are much more have a beautiful touch to them, where the songs are like really carefully crafted with like have these catchy hooks all in it. Actually, they all have hooks in them. But what if the new album, since no one's heard it yet, what did you go do? What about writing it? What did actually was your approach this time?
It's kind of always sort of the approach that we always sort of go with is try to create some music that is really interesting to us and that we really like and connects with what's going on, as well as express the feelings and troubles and trials and everything that we're going through at that time and kind of combine that all together. So with this album, there's some really insane, super intense songs that are over the top, super fuzzed out. I don't know if you've heard Disgust, but that is like a pretty wild track. And then there's like the second track, that was single that we released, You Got Me, that's like super poppy and kind of catchy. And then there's songs which are really dreamy on this record. But it's a pretty concise record. There's 10 tracks, it goes to a lot of different places. The little bit of the feeling that I have when kind of coming up with a record is going back to those old vibes of like a cool mixtape. And so it's like, lots of times, I like the album to be a journey. So there's some of these kinds of things where it's like, reconnecting with the new members of the band who are like old friends and everything. And these kind of stories that are happening, as well as, life seems to keep on getting harder and harder always all the time. So there's a lot of inspiration and stuff there. There's always a lot of people doing stupid stuff around New York. There's some good songs to write about. You're always madly in love with someone or something at times. And so, there you go. You want to impress them. And so, inspiration.
Now, something I've noticed over the years, even on the really, really pretty poppy type songs, when you guys perform, I don't hear that poppiness in there as much. You guys basically blow the walls out when you perform. Have you ever actually tried to tone it down to perform the way the album sounds, or is it just not as fun?
We have kind of done that sort of stuff and sort of elements. I don't know. I think that really we sort of, what's the most exciting for us to perform, and I think is the most kind of unique aspect of this band and the live performance that we can really bring to the table, are those times when the show is just completely over the top and completely destroyed. Like, I don't know when you get to see a band really do that. Even these bands who have huge anthems and over the top sounds, like not all of them are putting themselves in really dangerous situations and kind of going for it, where they feel halfway through the show like they can't possibly go on, and we go on further than that. So I don't know. That's like, it always just reminds me of those like shows that I've been to where I see people do that. And that's where I kind of like fell in love with live music. I love just sitting on a couch and listening to awesome live music somewhere in a coffee shop or something, or all sorts of scenarios are really cool. Or singing along to your favorite song, or just gives you that good go get 'em feeling or something. But as us as performers, I don't know. It's like, it's those weird moments where you were in some dark basement, there's stuff dripping off the ceiling, you're getting pushed from the people around you. And
Phil's falling from the ceiling down on you from the noise level.
Yeah, totally. So I don't, you know, maybe if a lot of other bands were doing that now, I wouldn't feel like we would need to, and we would be like, oh, nobody's playing pop music and everyone should enjoy this, you know, beautiful pop song. But I feel like, you know, that's kind of, I don't know, people are being like careful with their instruments and careful with their craft. And I don't know. I think it's kind of, it's fun to have like range and excitement, and us as a band can bring that, like, not care in the craft and throwing ourselves into a crazy situation and seeing what happens. And that's kind of exciting. It's like watching improvisational jazz or something where, you know, it can be bad at times, but with the times when it's really good, man, is it like something else that is unlike anything else.
I have a lot of favorite memories with you guys, but part of where that question came from, I turned a friend on to you based off of a couple of singles, and they came with me to see you guys play, and they said, they never played that song. Oh, no, no, they did. They totally did. They played it.
Yeah, totally.
So I've seen you guys perform and play under perform in many different lineups over the years. And now, I believe, last time I saw you, you had John and Sandra. It's Fedowitz.
Yes.
In the band. That was, I believe that was 529. That was a night when you had the synthesizer on the floor with the strobe light going, and I just couldn't contain what was happening. It seemed like one of the most lively lineups that I've seen you perform with. Yeah. Sandra is freaking phenomenal. Not taken away from John. But how did you come about finding them? Because it feels like such a perfect fit. You didn't just like go out and just grab a couple of musicians. Somehow they chemically fit with what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I've played music with John for a really long time. And so, we used to play in bands in like high school and stuff like that together, mm-hmm. right when I was leaving high school. So I've known him forever. He kind of even grew up at the time when I was first discovering a lot of music. We were really good friends and we were finding all this stuff. So there's sort of this like unspoken connection between all of this. Like we know exactly what kind of music we even really like and love. And Sandra is, joined, John and her have a band together called Ceremony East Coast. And she was like the tour manager when she wasn't in that band of Ceremony East Coast, when they were touring in Europe, because she's from Germany. And so, when John asked her, because she was a big fan of this kind of stuff and she was a fan of A Place to Raise Strangers. And so when John asked her to join his band, she was just learning how to play drums and figuring all of this stuff out. So she adapted and learned from John in this whole kind of just cut from the same cloth of what we think are cool songs and stuff. So they're just kind of naturally in the same aesthetics of everything that I've always liked in live music and everything too. So it's just really natural, and since they're such good friends, it makes it easy and fun. So we're having the time of our lives. It's like, you're up there in the chaos and looking through the fog, you can smile and, give someone a high five or whatever, or bump them or something like that. And, we all know that, we're in some crazy battle for our lives.
It's hard to believe that they weren't originally in the band. It's so tight, so cohesive, and the ideas are so solidly there that it's really just hard to comprehend that they're relatively new to the lineup. You couldn't have done better. What exactly? So you go through a lot of people, but you've also been touring for a lot of time. Do you just like burn people out on the road and writing and playing?
I mean, it's all sorts of different things. It's like people have gone on for all sorts of different reasons, so it's kind of like, anything you could possibly think of. There's people where it ends up being you have bad blood between the people or something. There's people who go on to start a family. There's people who, go on and it's like they're just too tired of touring or something. And they want to try something else with their life and go in a different direction. We've had people become like actors and all sorts of stuff and whatever, that kind of just makes sense. It's like, I think there's a lot of fun things to do in this world. And as much as it can be really fun, like being on the road and doing that stuff, is also pretty tough.
You've been doing this for a very, very long time. You keep pushing and pushing and pushing, but you never seem to slow down. It's not just that you play like the US and the UK. I mean, you're actually literally touring the world. In fact, I mean, you're about to leave town next week for China.
Yes, I think maybe the fourth time or something like that.
I'm so behind on this.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you know, it's sometimes they're just parts of other a little of another tour or something. But I mean, any chance, you know, I want to go travel any place I possibly can. So yeah, to get the chance to go to China, if anybody can out there, definitely go. You know, it's out of this world, and there's such cool things kind of going on over there. And you don't even realize, like, I feel like, you know, there's a whole different kinds of sets of, you know, separate worlds, because, you know, there's other sorts of relations or bad or the governments don't get along or something like that maybe is happening sometimes. But like, China's a really amazing place, and it's such a massive place. There's all these different cultural, you know, things like waterfalls and crazy cliffs and things that nobody even hears about because, you know, how's the chance you're going to get to go to China, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, it's, I don't know. I think that helps even people like understand other parts of the world and people and all this stuff better. It's really cool.
I feel like you've had a chance to see a lot of the world with the world's people as you tour than most anyone ever could if they're trying to travel and just explore places.
You know, it's a give and take. It's like you get this awesome aspect where like people want to show you around their area. So that is amazing, you know. So a lot of times you get this inside look at what all of these places are where you go. The only downside is you're traveling a lot. So, you know, you spend a lot of time at airports. If you don't like to like wait around and you can't occupy yourself, that would be tough. You don't get that much sleep, and you don't get as much time as you'd want to spend in a lot of these places. So, you know, once you're already over there, people hear that you're in the area and they're like, do you want to play the next day in our hometown? And we're always like, of course, you know. So it's, you know, you kind of get that bug where you want to play shows and share the experience with other people.
How long will you be there?
Not even that long. Like, we're playing 5 shows, I think, and maybe we'll be there for 10 days or 11 days or something. But each show is like, you know, maybe 4 to 6 hour train ride away. So part of that, you don't get like the travel, you know, with all that traveling, you know, you gotta even adapt to the time zone. It's exactly 12 hours difference. So, you know, you get there, you try to like either stay up or fall asleep or whatever to adapt. You travel more, you know, there's people that wanna, you know, that you get to meet and hang out with and talk to, and that'll be cool. And I'll get to see some old friends and stuff. I'm super excited.
Are there any other places that you have on the radar that you just haven't been to yet?
Yeah, I've never been to India. I would love to go. We've never played shows in Iceland. I would love to do that.
I figured you would have been to Iceland at least.
Yeah, no, just on layovers and stuff. So, yeah, that would be amazing. I'd like to go to maybe some other places in Africa. We played in like South Africa and stuff like that, and that was cool, but it'd be cool to be in some of the more wild places. Really, I mean, I don't know. There's still, I'm sure, still tons of places to go and stuff, you know, lots of like, I don't know, tropical islands and stuff. I don't know if they'd really want our band to come play. You know, we're open. So, yeah.
You toured with a really nice variety of bands. You've gone from, like, I know what, Nine Inch Nails, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. I really dig Holy Fuck. I know you've toured with them some.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good range of bands you guys have been touring with, including some of the larger festivals. Are there any like standouts or highlights that you've experienced on the road with all these trips?
Yeah, I mean, so many. I mean, so many of those shows are just crazy. And it's crazy to know some of these people too. And like, you know, they'd be so nice and kind, you know, like Trent Reznor or, you know, the people like in Idols or something. It's like, it's really cool to see that these people who are so awesome and supportive of the arts and everything are also kind of like doing it, and really people really appreciate what they do and stuff. So that stuff is really awesome. Yeah, I mean, playing these shows where you come out and there's thousands of people screaming for you to play. I mean, even just in this past tour that we did, we played this festival, we were like headlining one of the days, and you know, there's maybe like 8,000 people or something like that out looking out onto the ocean. You know, it's just kind of wild to get those sort of experiences. It's like, you know, I don't know, a dream or something. But yeah, and I don't know, you know, that's even so wild too, like growing up in Virginia where I grew up, and like, you know, putting on Pretty Hate Machine in your car and blasting it while you're driving it around, and then to be playing this show, like, that's just nuts.
That sounds exciting. How do you feel then when you come back and you start playing like the 300 capacity venues? It's a whole different show. It's a completely different experience. Do you have a preference?
I mean, I like doing different things, you know? So it's like, I don't know, I like being there with the crowd. That's like kind of the most fun, you know, in a way, but there's definitely some crazy adrenaline rush when you're there and there's that many people. It's sort of like bizarre. You find, feel like you're in like an alien world or something. And then we'll often go down and play in the crowd. So if the people get really rowdy and stuff, it can be insane. Like people crawling all over you and you're crawling through the crowd and I'm trying to push people around. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I don't know where else you get that experience except for maybe like prison or something like that, or I don't know what or something. But it's fun to even see people in different territories and stuff like that as well too. And I would, you know, I don't even mind playing for one person or whatever too. Like sometimes that can be the most exciting. Like, I don't know, we have these, I can't remember, maybe it was on this a couple tours ago or something. It was like, there was this show that we had booked and there was like pretty much nobody there. You know, there was like the other band and then like three other people or something. And I don't know, I was just so excited to play that show for some reason and just be like, you know, these three people are going to be like, what the hell are we here? What the hell is happening here? You know, like that's, you know, I don't know. It doesn't matter kind of where or whatever. I think though that it's like, you know, you can kind of help if you are at a show and you want the show to be better and more fun. You can also in the crowd, like participate. And that's kind of fun too. Like we had this show, the last show of this past tour, I was like holding my guitar out and passing it to people to strum. And some dude like pushed his head up there for me to play guitar on his head. So I like banged the guitar on his head a bit as I was passing by. And you know, it's just a moment I'll remember forever.
When recording the record, where did you record it and who produced it? And, you know, that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, I recorded it over here at our studio here and at my house.
So you self-record?
Yeah, and I produced it and, you know, we did all that stuff, so.
Basically, you have your own studio set up. The whole band comes in. So you don't even need a producer. You are.
No, but it's fun to work with other people on doing things and stuff. You know, this would just like, it just made sense. We were kind of writing the songs as we were recording them. And so this was just like really natural to do all of that stuff. I mean, I'm always kind of writing songs as well and stuff too. But, you know, we kind of like to do things different a lot of times. And this was kind of like starting and exploring stuff with the new band a lot in this. And so just kind of, I don't know, trying to do this stuff. And, you know, all this stuff is kind of like makeshift. But over the years, you know, I've built a lot of studios and I always try to make sure I have a space where I can play music as loud as I want anytime in the night. And I think that that's kind of important when, I don't know, as a writer, you know, I don't know when exactly like inspiration's going to strike or when it is that we want to create this music, and we play loud music. So it's good to be able to play loud music when you want to.
When writing songs, it is a chance to kind of play around with your new toys that you come up with.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and these things even, you know, you kind of touched on this as well. Like, you know, I build a lot of things that I want to make these sounds, but also these things kind of inspire a lot of songs and stuff too. Like sometimes you'll find some technology and you'll mess around with it and you'll be like, oh, this is interesting, and then that gives you the idea for a sound or a song, and those two things really go hand in hand.
Thanks Oliver for being on the show, and thanks as always to Jeffrey for the interview. Definitely go to the Earl on October 28th and check out A Place to Bury Strangers. Opening is going to be Yahweh Nail Gun. And they always put on a mind-blowing show, so definitely do your best to be there. And that's it for us today. If you have not already, please subscribe to us on YouTube and click the bell icon so we'll notify you when we have new episodes come out. If you'd rather listen to us than watch, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere where you like to listen to podcasts. So that's it for me. I'm Jimmy Ether, and we will see you next time. The Record Plug Podcast is part of the Headphone Treats Podcast Network.